Now, the funny thing that happened to me this most recent Mercury retrograde was, well, it's not funny, but it was just, I was casually searching for used boards online, right? And now that we're here back in Western frontier land, aka California, the boards are a lot cheaper. Well, I saw a board I liked, and it was still a little bit out of my idea of what I wanted to spend. But the Mercury retrograde, it made me want to pull the trigger, right?
But what does that mean?
Like, buy it and overspend. But I waited. I talked to the guy, and I said, you know, here's what I would take, blah, blah, blah. Kind of negotiated.
Yeah,
but
you bargained.
Then we didn't decide on anything, but he got back to me after Mercury retrograde, and I got it for the price I wanted. And I thought that was a moment where Mercury being a fire sign, I really wanted it. I really wanted it. I was ready to just take it. But because I am quite mercurial, let's just wait it out, David. Not make any swift and mercurial moves. Be patient. And it worked. It worked. So.
Yeah, that's called being fixed in what you are going to receive, which is also related to your asking price, right? I've had that conversation with a few people in regards to business negotiations, trying to come up with numbers that would represent their services and making prices.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Well, welcome to our show.
Welcome back to the actual Raven's Nest with barking dogs and hummingbirds.
Yeah, we've kind of given some space, but now we're ready to just unload our wrathful fury of astrological gnosis on any of your brains out there that care to absorb it.
Yeah, so you want to just jump right in?
How about the soundbite real quick from this really funny character named Cat Williams?
Wait. I wanted us to talk about what today was first.
What is today?
So today is an important day when the sun begins its northward journey, which is called Uttarayana in Vedic astrology. When we practice Jyotish, we learn about these moments in the calendar year, how they're measured. So today is actually Makara Sankranti, which is one of the first festivals of the year. And Makara means what?
I don't know exactly what it means, but it's Capricorn, correct?
Right. So it's Capricorn. But it's when the sun moves from the fire sign of Sagittarius into the earth sign of Capricorn, right? And it goes from that fire you're talking about, wanting to buy something, into taking a step back, being a little bit more earthbound, checking your finances, seeing if the price you want matches your desire, right?
Yeah, right. Letting that grounded earth sign solidify that initial spark, right? That spark of the fire is always like really...
you got to control the fire. Yeah, so that's what today is celebrating. It's also called Pongal. And when they celebrate Pongal in South India, it's a four-day festival. And day one is Indra. And day two, they honor Surya. Day three, they honor Nandi. And also the cattle get dressed up and we honor them for their service to us as beings that provide the strength to accomplish the work. And that's like related to a story about Shiva's cow Nandi and how he ended up here on Earth, separated from Shiva. And day four is celebrating with family, visiting with family, eating with family. So what does this have to do with today and why is it special? Because it's dedicated to the sun entering Capricorn, like we said. And the sun was said to have visited his son Shani on this day. So this is another reason to honor this day. this is the first and only day that the sun would see his sunshiny.
Yeah. You know, I was really looking forward to, we've been listening to that, I don't know his real name, the Beer Biceps dude.
Who's oh, got yeah, an amazing the Ron Veer podcast. Show. Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just going to let you know now, sorry if we're not what you expected, because that guy set the podcast standards to like a whole new level, right? But
he's talking to all these like Agoris and like tantrics and
one
stuff.
Of the, that Jyotishi he had on was, he asked him and he never got around to it on the episode because he asked him, what's the deal with Saturn being son of sun?
Or oh, yeah, 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 sun, the son of the
which
sun.
Which I was really wishing he did speak on because it's something I'd need to know more about.
So I guess we're going to have to get back to you guys on that one. But I saw that and I thought that was super cool because the more you know about the mythology, you can see how things play out, right? And
here's my suspicion as an astrologer, what I think the reason is, besides what we know from the mythology, right? That's what he was getting at, you know, that Shawnee's considered offspring of Surya.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that could relate to every time sun goes through the sign of Shawnee, there's sort of a renewal of the sun based off of what you're talking about, the holiday.
Yeah, it's like the transference of the energy from the father to the son. You could even look at it like that. But also, who is Shawnee's brother?
Is it Yami?
Or Yama. Yami is Shawnee's stepsister, stepbrother and stepsister, right? So you think about that too. And where does the son go into when we deal with Yama? It's Barney, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff tied in that you can look at and see. Okay, what nakshatra is Barney? It's the nakshatra of, what, not nakshatra, what is a nakshatra lord of Barney?
Venus.
Yeah, so there's all these different mythologies that you can look at. And what we just did was kind of like illustrate how you can research different things related to these topics and see how they correspond astrologically and create the calendar, right? So, yeah, there's a lot of stories that this day are illustrated in different ways, like on Earth, but also Bhishma left his body on this day during the Great Mahabharata War. So this is, Makara Samkranti is often associated with Bhishma, who died on the bed of arrows, which is like, what? Sagittarius. He died on a bed of arrows on Makara Sankranti.
You're forgetting that Bhishma is related to in the nakshatra of Dhanishta.
Bhishma?
Dhanishta. Nakshatra. Is it not? Yeah, the story of Dhanishta involves Bhishma, which is a part of Capricorn. Yeah, you didn't. I caught you off guard.
That's right. Because I was thinking about something else. I was thinking about even when you look at the story of this, there's an actual yogasana called, it's related to Bhishma and his death pose, where you put a block underneath your lower back and you see the picture of how he looks, and that's how the asana looks. So it's interesting how all these things correspond to each other. Yoga, the tithis, you know, different Sankranti, and also the last story, and we can talk about what you really wanted to talk about, is how does Lord Indra relate to this, because he also has a story for this day. So it's related to Indra and Krishna, and it's the story of when Krishna raised Govardhan Hill with his pinky, and that's what really caused a lot of, let's say, conflict between Indra and Krishna. So, yeah, these are all the stories of Makara Sankranti and now.
We're on 8%, just so you know.
The now for the cream of the crop story of the podcast.
If it ain't weed or nicotine, you won't see me touching it. I don't want no parts. I done seen what these things can do to people. Anything that take over your free will is the devil itself.
Have you ever thought about what your life would have been had you stayed in Dayton, Ohio?
No. That's like asking somebody that's in the NBA for 14 years, like, what would have happened if you didn't come to the NBA? Oh,
I shudder to think. I thought it was what I was made for. I thought it was what I was built for. Anybody that knows me will tell you that when they first met Cat Williams, when I was Cat in the Hat, and they tell these stories about how he changed his name. Look, the truth of the matter is Disney sued me. Yeah, I was Cat in the Hat. They sent me a cease and desist letter, and I'm not even making $25,000 a year. And the mega company Disney has sent me a cease and desist telling me I can't use any variations of that name. Fine, I'm Cat Williams. That's all that happened.
Wow, okay, so.
He's Cat Williams.
I think everybody's talking about him right now because he had, like, one of the most listened to interviews. Which I listened to all of it, and it was amazing.
Well, my first response is dharma. You know, when someone's living out their dharma, and you ask them a question like, "Well, what would have happened?" You're like, "That's like asking a bird like how it landed on that like one branch that it landed on. It could have landed on any of those branches." So. I always think of dharma, and we did a little insight into his chart.
Yeah, because the whole time I'm listening, I'm like, okay, this was a dead giveaway. So for astrology lovers, how you can learn a lot about a person is listen to what they say, how they talk, when they're talking about themselves or when they answer questions. And he said... You know, when he's talking about his early life, he said he started to read at age 3 but didn't know how he did it, but he did it. And I'm like, oh, that's some K2 stuff, right? And then he's like, you know, he has a gift for speech, right? But it seems like this was his destiny, you know, right?
Yeah,
like he said it. This was, he can't imagine life any other way. Well, he's got... an Ashlesha ascendant with K2 and the ascendant in Ashlesha. Really close conjunction, which is super cool. I mean, yeah, he's got a gift for speech and he can't imagine life any other way. And he's just this character that slinks in and out of the public eye every now and then to clear stuff up, you know?
Right.
Of course. Yeah.
Well, obviously, I'm a fan of anyone who... can be exactly who they are and say everything that they say and have no need for covering their ass because they've lived in literal truth and authenticity of who they are in their being. They're not sucking off anybody for money and then signing NDAs or any of that. And perhaps it does have to do with a sun in a very, you know, it's funny, people hate on like sun and Leo and all this junk, but in a kingly manner, sun in Leo, which is for Gotama in his charts, is very powerful.
Yeah, and when you said that, you know, he's got sun conjunct Venus in Leo in the second house with Mercury. This guy's smooth, and I can think of an image that comes to mind of him where he's sitting on a throne, he's wearing all this jewelry, and this, like, he looks like he could be from the Middle Ages.
And he was
very MAGA.
Getting coined the fourth king of comedy. I don't really know much about whatever it was. I just heard him mention that on that episode. But yeah. And Sun, in a great example of someone being truthful, living by kind of a principled, righteous life, and only being respectful about it as best as they can, right? Like, once you get disrespected, it's hard to... That's what people don't understand about how a king has to operate is, like, it's not always, like...
You're not always available.
Flowers and cupcakes and party balloons, you know? Like, a king has to maintain order. Which also sort of leads... I don't know. We could take that a few different directions.
Yeah, so we're talking about the sun and, like, the natural fifth house. He has... Jupiter there, right? And I was wondering when he was talking, I'm like, oh, he must be like a nurturer type, right? And then he said he adopted all these kids, and the reason why he wasn't married was because he was always the mother and the father already successfully, so it would be pretty hard to find somebody to fill those shoes.
Yeah.
And that's why he kind of has hired all kinds of women to work for him rather than men, because they're kind of fulfilling that role of the female presence.
Right.
So he's very, you know, I could see he's very caring in how he approaches things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no pun intended, but his chart speaks for itself. And
yeah,
the second house is very powerful in his chart, so he actually uses his mouth, the words he speaks, to make money. Just a real fun example of how the new year of 2024 has started, and I find it exciting, and we're thrilled to find out what happens in the political landscape, just how every other occultist seems to be now.
But we mean it, because we like the controversial candidates, so let's talk about what we think about that, because I
don't care about the new nominees. I don't care. I want to see, you know who?
Trump 2024.
I want to see him fix it. Just fix it. I don't give a crap anymore. Like, I don't care about all the imperfections he's done in the past.
I want someone that knows business to figure out what's wrong with the United States.
All I know is that things were better when he was running, and that's what I'm sticking by.
So we're going to look at the chart of, or talk about the chart of Donald Trump. And you know what? Maybe I'll just drop the two charts in the Raven's Nest podcast chat.
Yeah.
Everybody can take a look at these two
Which
guys.
Is a chart of a leader, a chart of somebody that you want in control of the situation. That's
and guess what?
I think.
They both have big Leo energy, you know? So don't let anyone tell you that, you know, Leo is not a good chart position for planets, because it's how you use it. And Donald Trump knows how to use it. You know, he's a MAGA ascendant, a Jason Moon, Mercury and Ardra. Whoa, try and compete with that, you know. And he's got the classic Kal Sarp yoga positions, you know, where all the planets are grouped in a certain way in the chart.
We can, well, this is going to, again, like, it's one thing that we notice as astrologers when we study charts. You know, can you actually see what someone's dharma is? Maybe you don't know your own dharma if you can't see the dharma of other people in the positions that they are supposed to be in. Why wouldn't someone with this kind of a chart be the leader? You don't know what a king is if you aren't one, but a lot of people aren't. That's the part about it.
Hey, guess what, though? The way Trump has his, homes decorated, have you ever seen the pictures of what they look like? It's like a palace. Everything's gold. Everything's grand. Everything's got beautiful art. You know, he has that Venus-Saturn conjunction in, like, how many charts? Like, this guy appreciates art.
His chart has the bloodline of royalty, right? And, again.
Oops, we said it.
How do you know what royalty is if you're not around it? But I think I don't want to sound condescending, because I believe in the goodwill of everybody, and that it's in everyone's best interest to have a future, right?
Yeah.
And ultimately, we want to be autonomous. Like, who cares who's the leader? But
the leader will maintain order for the country, and that's it. Like, we don't want you, like, telling us what we can eat and what we can't eat, and, you know, spraying our air with, like, all your weird stuff, you know? Like,
yeah.
You know.
That's
so let's talk about, like, this 10th house, Rahu conjunct Sun. That is a leader all over right there, right? Jupiter Dasha.
I love it. We've got an audience behind us or something.
It's busy out here today. It's probably because the sun's shining and it's not too hot. But
And just to have Moon and Jyeshta, I mean, if you talk to any Jyotishi who understands
K2 Moon conjunction,
that Indra has associated with Jyeshta.
Yeah.
I want my I want my leader.
I want a Jaisha leader.
Be Indra, because
yeah, he ain't taking no BS, and he goes back to his castle at night. You know,
you want somebody to protect you. You want somebody who gives a shit about the rights, and you want someone that's powerful. Because if you're not powerful, you're gonna get defeated, walked on, you're gonna be made fun of, and then the whole inside and foundation of everything crumbles. But
and then you talk to this guy who's also got Mars in the ascendant.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's a warrior for the people right there, right? He's got Mars in, guess what? MAGA. Whoa.
Again, a Mars ascendant.
Royal,
like,
leadership.
I mean, I'm not, I don't, you know, fuck, it could be the quarterback to a football team.
Wait.
You know, like,
and MAGA sounds like MAGA.
Which is the Nakshatra.
That's uncanny, isn't it?
What are the coincidences of that?
Isn't that strange? And the colors that he chose are like red.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of unbelievable. And the symbol being the lion of MAGA, and also a symbol that he uses often. Okay, we got to know who the Vedic astrologers are behind these choices, because it's unbelievable. It's great.
Right. Now, yeah, so anyone who didn't care about the past few minutes, well, we're going to move on. And we're going to keep moving on to what else we need to talk about.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're going to keep on rolling into this episode.
So did you think we were going to get through an episode without talking about Saturn?
Definitely not possible, as we love Saturn. We love Shani.
In a different way than, you know, the black square type people, but I'm more like Shawnee, like, you know, in this pose that he's on his Vahana, which is a crow, so he's like doing this half lotus pose, and then he's balancing on his foot, sitting on a crow. He's got all his weapons. That's my vibe, 2024.
Well, that's like our Raven's Nest cover art. It's basically the same thing.
Shh.
Yeah.
Well, why are we talking about Shani? Because it's an 8-year. And according to one of our favorite books, is Numerology, Tantra, Ayurveda, and Astrology by Harish Johari. Great book on the planets, the numbers and vibrations of the planets. And my personal favorite part is the squares or yantras for the planets and the mantras. Because if there's one thing I've noticed being a practitioner of different magical traditions and studying Ayurveda, Jyotish, and numbers, those magic squares are in every single magical book. That makes sense. That works together. So that's the cool bonus for people that want to test out the power of yantras. Just staring at the numbers, it might not make any sense to us, but we're just humans. You know, our intelligence isn't that great. But I think this Saturn year, people are going to start putting in the work. What do you think about this 8-year?
Being associated with Saturn and our Vedic numerology reference, the Cat Williams thing is really that type of energy. He said, you know, like, it's the truth, and then it's the others. Like,
here's the kicker, though. He's in his Saturn dasha.
And
right?
Yeah, the thing about Saturn is that it's pretty loaded, and it comes at its own due time. Like, you hear the saying, like, time heals all. But, like,
I never heard that.
Well, time does heal all. It's just a matter of how much time, right? And how much time can people get away with doing wrong deeds, wrong actions? Well, that's not our decision. That's Saturn's, right? So I imagine the jig is up for a lot of people that are basically screwing over not only the universe or other people, it's just screwing over themselves. So I find that to be part of the 8 year. And yes, Saturn rewards those who work diligently, honestly, and I'd say dutifully.
Yeah, I have a really cool quote from another of my favorite numerology books by Remington Donovan. One of the mottos for the numbers is prosperity is time, love, and money, right? And if you analyze that, time is Saturn, love would be Venus, and money would be Mercury. So Saturn equals Mercury plus Venus.
What? Well, yeah, no, that's good. All these things can equate into the positive traits, right? I find the negative side of maybe the 8 year is the fact that Saturn has a little bit of a sadistic nature when we pursue certain things beyond our limits. So limitations is what Saturn is, right? Limitations are seen through Saturn in your chart. So
people without boundaries are going to have a really rough time right now because Saturn's going to reel them in, force them to reel them in.
Yeah, and Saturn also will, an example of what I mean by this is...
Yeah, can you explain that?
Is someone like, this is my easiest example, is someone like David Goggins, who has, obviously, based on his story, he broke limitations, right? And we always know that on the other side of these limitations, on the other side of the uncomfortable, is a lot of times the greatness, the goal or the achievements. But maybe a little statistic that somebody runs, like, I think it was like a 24-hour marathon and like did over like 150 miles, some crazy, like a couple hundred miles running. And he tore like so many ligaments. He had like all sorts of things wrong with his legs after that. So that to me is an example of like being like,
well,
okay,
that's Shawnee
Taraya. Yeah, that's Shawnee saying, You overdid it, right? Like, you finished the race, but it's gonna cost you a little bit. So yeah, Saturn naturally being a karmic might cost us, you know.
That's interesting.
So
I guess most people wouldn't think like David Goggins was being sadistic. They would think he was being cool, right? Because
right, like, oh, like, man, I want to lift like that, or you know, who knows.
Yeah, it's one of those people that just is like, okay.
But again, like, where do we stop when we've created a bad habit? How far does it go? Honestly, it's somewhat of a tough decision for us to know, to make a statement about where and when does it stop, you know? At what point do you break yourself and decide, now that I'm over that habit, I'm better now? Well, it's different for different people, right? So maybe this year people are going to find out at what cost it took for me to achieve greatness, or even
yeah, I like that. You know, I always like talking about Saturn because of a few things, actually. I think when I think of Saturn, I think of fear. And there's a lot of palpable fear right now in the collective. I'm trying to appeal to that new age group. So that was for you. But when I think of fear, I think of Saturn. And how can we counter this fear, right? How can we overcome this fear? I think this is why we use astrology. So, you know, our computer ran out, so we had to plug it in and whatnot. And while we did that, I decided to do an Abhyanga, right? And for those that don't know, Abhyanga is using oil, but I decided to do oil on my hair and my whole body, and I used sesame oil, which sesame oil is given as a remedy for Saturn. So it's, why is that? Because Saturn is a Vata planet, right? And what happens in the winter? We get dry, right? And then everybody tries to put lotion on to counter the dryness, but then it never goes away, so you have to put the lotion on every day.
Right.
But the lotion doesn't do anything but keep depleting you, and the oil actually goes all the way into all of the tissues. So it's like a deep tissue therapy.
Yeah.
And what I think is even cooler, so we can bring it back to Mars now, is the Kshatriya class, warrior class, perfect the art of Abhyanga and warfare. Why did all these armies win that were, you know, why were these guys unstoppable? Well, think about, like, mud wrestling, okay? Like, a dumb example, but you just see how they oil themselves up.
Yeah.
Because what happens, it makes you real slippery. So you can't sustain injuries.
So it, like, okay, let me get this straight. Someone with, like, when I think of Mars, I'm thinking of a soldier and a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And then the counter, like, how to counter someone coming at you with a sword and shield and shining armor mm-hmm. is to be super slippery.
That's super
or oily, I should say, which is
slippery.
Saturnian.
Yes.
So, which is funny because when you think about those two planets, they do kind of they clash, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a battle when Mars and Saturn are around each other.
Yeah, but that's how, you know, you think about like when you try to cut something or like pierce something when it's oily, you can't do it. You can't open an oily container, right? And your body is like a container and you can't pierce the skin if you're oily. So that's like an old school warfare tactic. And this war class, Kshatriyas, also learned the art of Marma therapy, which was, you know, you've seen all these like videos of people fighting like ninjas, and then they're doing these hand things where they're pressing different parts of the body and they have no tools. So like if you were fighting and you lost your sword, you're not gonna totally get beheaded because you know these power points in the body to press to shut off prana on people. Which is taking it back to Saturn, because Saturn controls prana. So if you know the Marma points and you're oiled up and you're ready to go, you could totally take down another person using nothing but your hands and your mind and your skill. So that's what I was thinking about. And it related to Saturn. So that's something people can try.
I guess for 8 years, just make sure you oil your skin.
In the winter. As appropriate, you know, change different oils, you know, that's what I think you need to kind of adapt it for the situation, because then the pitta can get aggravated. So if you want any information on that, you can always email us or just read about
Abhyanga.
Oil. Yeah, read about Abhyanga and how it relates to the planets.
Abhyanga, how do you spell that? So for the listeners, it's A-B-H probably. Yeah. A-Y-A-N-G-A. Did I get it?
Abhyanga, yeah.
Oh, I got it right. Hey, nice. I was good at spelling bees back in school. I was definitely, I would always get to like the top three and then sort of like chicken out because I'd rather go kick a soccer ball or something.
Yeah. So let's finish with the 8 year, because I have some other stuff that you told me I thought was really interesting. Observation. So back to Saturn. Seems like we're dancing between Saturn and Mars, but obsession with the color black.
Yeah, that's a good one to talk about. Well, to me, it seems like the past, like, I don't know, 10 years, it's just been, like, super, like, trendy for, like, you know, like, athleisure, that type of outfit. People are like, yeah, I'm wearing all black, like, I'm cool, you know?
Just, like, ugly black sweatpants with Doc Martens and, like, a black beanie.
Yeah, and Saturn.
You're talking about Los
color
Angeles.
Black.
That's like the official color of Los Angeles. Might as well be black, because everybody wears it here, like it's going out of style, you know.
And maybe that is something. I mean, like people need to. That's yeah. Like
I'll
I,
just see the trendy
people should
people
lighten up with their outfits because of that. Like, that's too much Saturn energy, you know.
Well,
like
it's invoking a certain energy, and people that practice magic should know better.
And it's a morbid.
Yeah.
Type of feel, which is not necessarily.
It feels like funerary, you know?
Well, it's.
What, mourning the loss of your freedom?
yeah. But it should be a balance, right? Like, I love black in the sense of, like, when I wear it, it's not every day of my life. It's when I think it's time to wear it.
Yeah, like when you're going to go garden or something, right? Like, I've embraced color, and Boris doesn't like black either because he's silver. So, yeah, another thing is, like, so when you're invoking Saturn and you're wearing black, you're, like, putting yourself, like, under the gaze of Shawnee. Like, he's going to zoom in on you and be like, what do you want? Oh, you want me to notice you? Guess what? You're really messing up right now. So I'm going to put the restriction gaze on you, you know? And that's when you invite the wrath and rage of Saturn, which you do not want that. You thought Mars was bad. He'll just stab you. But Saturn, he'll, like, torture you. Right? He'll make you so, like, collapse in fear.
Well, that kind of ties back to the sadistic thing for me, because that's where I see a lot of people that do wear black. Maybe that is part of their personality that's coming out, is maybe it's a workaholic tendency, because a lot of times I do see people that are workaholics wearing black all the time. So, man, there is maybe the, how did we even get to this? It was just because we were talking about
the eight year.
So, which, yeah, that,
go on.
No, that's good. Go ahead.
You know, all enough of this fear tactics with Saturn. Let's talk about the upside of Saturn. So, wisdom gained through experience and putting in effort, right? Putting in the time. There's that key word again. Worshipping, or, like, you know, putting a picture of Mahakal in a not so fierce form. Maybe, you know, call Bhairava, Batuka Bhairava. Bhairava and his consort, but keep it in a place where you can put it away, you know, just gaze at it like, okay, I understand time's real. And if that works for you, that's more like a tantric practice where you kind of get energy from the deity to help you, right? Because, you know, we were talking about between ourselves, Ishta Devatas, right? Which seems to be like a popular thing now, which I think is great, because when you connect with your deity to help you, it's very much like, yes, it could be a Maga or a K2 thing, K2 Dasha people that don't know their lineage. I think it's a great time, you know, to go back into what's currently happening and will be happening for a while, is K2 in Virgo, right? Connect with your family lineage, do different practices, you know, exercise. Get out with the sun. Now that the sun's going on its northward journey, coming out of the south, it's like, feel yourself gaining that strength, right?
I think a simple remedy is simply to really try and be organized this year, to really be to kind of keep attention to details more than ever, because the K2 might just make us really lapse in the detail, you know, like having to go back over again something, or having to reread a particular thing, the dotted line, you know.
Spoken like a true Virgo.
Yeah.
Get organized. Yeah, for sure. Get organized. Make time. Like, don't say you don't have time. That's a total, like, cop out. Like, you can make time into your busy schedule to eat, to sleep right, to exercise, to have some kind of leisure activity. You need to have some kind of leisure. You know, I heard something really interesting earlier when I was out and about. I heard these two girls talking, and this lady said, if there's one thing I could tell you that I learned in the past 3 years about relationships, is people need to have their own interests. You can't be with someone that doesn't have interests. And it doesn't have to be the same interest, but you have to allow for personal time. I was like, wow, that's great. Wouldn't you say so? Like, you have to have some kind of outlet.
An outlet and a boundary, right?
A boundary, an outlet, and a creative activity that you love to do. It doesn't matter if you're good at it, if it's a professional pursuit, whatever it is. You know, I think it's great to have something that you do by yourself.
And that's going to be very important during a 8 year with Saturn also being that the overhanging energy of the number 8.
So you can even say it's a Saturn, Ketu, Rahu kind of year.
Well, I'm mainly pointing out that it's good to have, because Saturn's, like you said, or I said, boundary, mm-hmm. right? So, like, knowing those relationships when they need to be kept at a certain distance so you can maintain space for yourself.
Yeah.
And to make time, like you're saying, if something truly is meant to happen, it will happen on its, again, time. You know, like, it won't just happen tonight or tomorrow morning. So we shouldn't fret or worry or stress ourselves out or be in fear of what. Maybe Shawnee does have some good karmic results coming to you, you know, but it all in due time, always. So, yeah, I think, too, with the K2 Virgo, it's going to draw out that the real analytical nature that is a part of Virgo. And it'll be helpful to, like, be a little more stressed out about wanting to clean your backyard or wanting to, you know, clean your room.
Wash your car.
It's a good thing, you know, to have something clean is, like, I mean, like, I get to see the inside of people's houses because it's the business I work in. And some houses, not great, but I've seen houses, it's like, whoa, this person had to clean their house every day. Like, a house built in the 1920s, and they have it looking like it was just built.
They have a good housekeeper. That's also Saturn.
Could be, yeah, a servant, right?
Yeah, they have help. I like to say help.
Yeah.
Yeah, servant is good, but we don't want it. We want it to be a good vibes type relationship. But yeah, I think putting in the time, effort, things like that. You know, we're going from this Mula energy to Purva Ashada, Uttara Ashada, Shravana, Dhanishta, right? All these energies, and yeah, there will be victory, but it's going to be later. I feel like that's kind of the vibe right now. Listen, which is what Shravana. Get practical, which is Dhanishta, right?
Yeah.
You know, you got to feel, to go back to all these energies of the planets, you got to feel invincible. You got to feel like you're an exalted planet. Like, don't feel like a debilitated planet. Like, just because you have a debilitated planet, it's like, well, they're not all debilitated. It's just one. And there's always a way to figure out how to work with that, right? Michael Jordan, right? Always go back to that. Michael Jordan. That guy has a debilitated planet.
Yeah. So I think it's a good year to really pay your dues, right? Because I think in a general sense, I don't want to keep bringing it back to eight. Most people nowadays talk about eight as extremely powerfully related to maybe wealth, maybe achievements. Like, eight is sort of like this the source, life, that sort of thing. But I think if you pay your dues, because Saturn's in Aquarius.
Yeah, that's a good place for Saturn. And likes that.
All planets are, all cylinders are going, you know. No, there's not a retrograde, right, as of the beginning of January of this year. So I think it's a really good time to get the ball rolling on a lot of stuff.
I don't see anything retrograde right now, except for the outer planets, but those are just kind of like, which, you know, that could be interesting. Uranus is retrograde, you know. Arun, our buddy Arun.
And
he's with Jupiter right now, so that's also something to consider. You know, Rahu's with Neptune. Ultra Pisces energy of, like, I don't know, it could be like surfing a lot, or like, you know, just getting all Rahu'd out, like, you know, like reading all this crazy fake news and stuff, and just like letting it go to your head and take over your brain, and you're just like lost in it. That's so Pisces, right?
Well, I mean, we're out here in California, right? And we had thought for a while we could have lived out here sooner, but with the way the funny sickness that like caused everyone to turn into like a-holes for no reason. It's just, I think the my feelings about the year ahead is I think optimal performance is a great sort of pursuit to have, because of a lot
without
of
being gimmicky.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have to say something, you know, like it can't just be like, oh yeah, this next three full moons are gonna have like 6D energy in it, and you might get
okay,
to go to exactly. So I do, but I think there's awesome energy ahead for the year, as long as like the government doesn't like implode. Like if like,
who cares about them anyways? Like if we ignore them, what can they do?
No, I mean, yeah, I'd rather focus on like my direct surroundings in my life, which I think a lot of people would agree is the best thing to do. So
wait, did K2 move into Chitra?
Yeah, so that could be a really good thing also.
Ooh,
for
that's all that Mars energy, huh? K2 in Chitra and Rahu in Revati.
Well, let's go ahead and keep that for the next episode, right?
Ooh, cliffhanger.
But yeah, guys, Uttarayana just happened, which is a really auspicious ceremony and begins to mark the ascension path of the sun into summer, basically, right?
Yeah, it's the marker of halfway point before the summer solstice.
Yeah. So I'm excited for summer. I'm excited for warmer weather. And I'm really looking forward to continue to watch our podcast grow. And we got to really finish our certain series, like Nakshatras could use another episode and a few others, but
now that we got our setup,
thanks to everybody for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next one.